It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for The Game on ESPN 1400. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region, and hear from the coaches and players involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories. Now, let's get to The Game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to The Game, brought to you by ESPN 1400, WKNW Sault Ste. Marie, powered by GEM, the Game Entertainment and Media, and currently heard at thegamesportshow.com, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, PodTrail, Facebook, and Instagram. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from the home studios on this Monday, September 28th, 2020. The Game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, as we have a rainy night in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. It definitely has a fall feel. It should, because we're officially into the fall season, and we have some good news as far as our show, The Game, starting next Monday night. October 5th, we will be back live on ESPN 1400 for our full two-hour show from 6 to 8 o'clock, and hopefully for a long, long time, barring any sports cancellations and pandemic concerns. But we're very excited to be back on ESPN 1400. We'll continue, of course, to put our show online on all the platforms, but there's something about live radio that still makes this show, I think, very important in these challenging times. We're going to be able to interview more local guests. We already have some guests lined up next week, so we will be back on ESPN 1400 starting next Monday. But we have a full show tonight, and let's start off with how we always start off, local sports. We have a lot of high school football results from this weekend, starting with the Sioux High Blue Devils. The Blue Devils, fresh off their victory a couple weeks ago down at Traverse City St. Francis, well, they had to travel to Marquette on Friday night to take on a very good Redmond squad who beat Menominee handily in their first game. And it was the Blue Devils coming out, on top by the score of 22-16. The Blue Devils trailed 9-0 going into halftime, but the Blue Devils would score the winning run. Chris Pierce, he scored a touchdown with 57 seconds remaining as the Blue Devils win again on the road by the score of 22-16 in a game you heard on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Pat Bennon. And so the Blue Devils off to a very good start, and they are scheduled to have their home opener Friday night at Van Sitters Field, taking on Gladstone, who also earned their first victory of the season on Friday, topping Nagani 22-20. There are some COVID concerns in Delta County. Escanaba schools have closed. Gladstone has not as of yet. So they are scheduled to take on the Blue Devils on Friday night, and you can hear that game with Dave Watson and Pat Bennon on our sister station, 1230 WSOO, Friday night, starting with the pregame show around 6:35. The other big matchup on the weekend over on Oldies 93 with Matt Pocket, Pickford went down to Cedarville. They didn't put up as many points as they usually do, but they still dominated the game as they shut out Cedarville by the score of 20-0. They improved to 2-0 on the season, and the Panthers will be at Rudyard on Friday night, while Cedarville, now 1-1, they will host a very good Rapid River squad. Rudyard topped Brimley on Friday at home by the score of 40-22. As the Bulldogs, now 1-1 on the season, they will host Pickford on Friday, while Brimley, 0-2, they will be home to Engadine on Friday. And you can hear that game over on Oldies 93 with Matt Pocket. You can hear it locally, or just go to the TuneIn app and type in Oldies 93. If you're out of town and want to hear these games, you get both WSOO and Oldies 93 are on the TuneIn app. Very easy to use. I used it on Friday, kind of going back and forth between the games. And so Matt will have the game from Brimley. One other Friday night game for EUP schools, Engadine, they struggled on the road as they were thumped by Rapid River by the score of 48-6. And as I mentioned, Engadine will be at Brimley, the Weather Bowl, on Friday. We could see some weather, rain predicted throughout this week, so it could be a wet field at the Amble Field in Brimley. Other UP results on Friday night, Iron Mountain, they won their game 41-6. Games that were canceled, several. Kingsford at Escanaba, Gogebic at Hancock, and Norway at Houghton, along with Kearney Naidu at Forest Park. All those games canceled due to COVID-19. Lots of outbreaks in Houghton County, the Copper Country. Those schools are shut down. Delta County as well. So COVID still playing a major factor, and we're going to see this, I think, throughout the high school season. You're going to see hot spots and schools close. So far here in the EUP, we've been lucky, I guess, for lack of a better term. Not as many cases and not as many tests being conducted, so that could have something to do with it. But the Western UP right now on fire with COVID. Michigan Tech, they've had to roll back due to all the cases there. So we'll keep an eye on COVID-19 because that is still something that is very much a part of high school football and just life in general. On Saturday, a couple EUP schools were in action. St. Ignace, they are struggling as well. They fall to 0-2 as they dropped a 40-12 decision to Frankfurt on the road. The Saints, they will be at East Jordan on Friday. And Newberry, they also fall to 0-2 as they were dropped by Munising. Munising making the jump to 8-player football. Well, they're 2-0. Newberry is 0-2, and they will travel to Felch to take on North Dickinson on Friday. Other UP scores from Saturday, North Central, they look tough again. They whoop North Dickinson 86-0. My goodness sakes, that was a blowout indeed. Kingsford at home, they shut out Norway by the score of 42-0. And Lake Linden Hubble on the road, they top Superior Central by the score of 44-14. In Northern Michigan Football League action on Friday night, it was Glen Lake over Elk Rapids, 51-0. Boyne City shuts out Kalkaska at home at 60-0. Charlevoix over Mancelona, 24-8. Harbor Springs, they top East Jordan at home by the score of 30-6. Kingsley, they top Ogama Heights, 36-14. And Traverse City St. Francis, they bounce back. They topped Grayling on the road, 42-20. And one result on Saturday, Benzie Central, they top Sheboygan by the score of 34-14. So Sheboygan 0-2 so far in high school football. Well, the Michigan High School Athletic Association, and they announced some changes for the 2020 football playoffs. This from the MHSAA. All teams this season are able to play up to 6 regular season games before the start of the playoffs, down from the usual 9 because of the first games of the season weren't played. The season started with week 4. However, the playoff fields for both 11 and 8 player football will be doubled this season, giving nearly every team in Michigan a guaranteed 7th game. Changes to the postseason 2020 season are as followed. The field for 11 player will be 512 teams. There are currently 507 teams playing 11-player football, so 5 teams are scheduled to receive a first-round bye at this time. The schedule, there'll be 3 district rounds, regional finals, semifinals, and finals. The host site for the semifinals and finals will be prearranged and announced at a later time, and the finals will be played the weekend of December 4th through the 6th. Now, teams have been placed in prearranged divisions based on enrollment. Teams and districts will be seeded 1 through 8 based on playoff point average. Again, this will all be geographically, with the teams with the highest averages hosting the district and regional levels. Because of a small number of teams opting to not play this fall, division lines were adjusted from what was previously released during the spring classification announcement, moving 20 teams to different divisions than previously published. Those changes are going to be reflected this week on the playoff points page of the MHSAA website, and district groupings will be available for view on that same site. We don't have those as of yet, so we'll have those next week on our first edition of the game on ESPN 1400. Eight-player football, 64 teams will be in the playoffs. There are currently 78 teams playing eight-player football this season. Those teams that finish the season but do not qualify for the playoffs will be allowed to schedule one more game against non-qualifiers. So not every team in eight-player football will make the playoffs. So you want to be top 64 of 78. Schedule three regional rounds, semifinals, and finals. The finals will be played on the weekend of November 27th and 28th at a site to be determined. For the brackets, teams were placed in prearranged divisions based on enrollment during the classification process this spring. The top 32 teams in each division based on playoff point average will qualify for the playoffs. Brackets will be drawn and announced on October 25th. Teams with higher playoff point averages will host regional and semifinal games. Additionally, there are 6 8-player teams too large by enrollment to qualify for the playoffs. They will be allowed to schedule their own non-MHSAA playoffs if they choose to do so after the regular season. So still lots to be determined as far as who's going to play who and where, and we'll keep you up to date right here on the game. Lots of high school volleyball over this past week. Let's start last Tuesday. Rudyard, will they continue to rule the roost in the UP Conference as far as volleyball, as they knocked off Pickford on Tuesday by the score of 3-1 in Rudyard? And how about this? They have a win streak in conference approaching 4 years and now stands at 43 games. How about that? Boy, that is a solid program in Rudyard, built by head coach Ellen Perry, who retired this past season. New coach Amanda Reed now taking the helms, and she's inherited quite a program indeed. And so Pickford continues their run. And top players on Tuesday for the Bulldogs were Ms. Besteman and Hannah Beelen. They led the Bulldogs with 11 kills each. Paige Postma, she had a team-leading 20 digs, while Sarah Beelen had 18 and Besteman with 16. So the Rudyard Bulldogs continue their very impressive play in high school volleyball. Cedarville on Tuesday knocked off Brimley by a 3-0 count. For the Bays, Alana Vandermeer, she had 8 kills, 4 aces, and 3 digs, while Sadie McGuire led the Bays in digs with 12. Lindsay Hill, she dished out 14 assists, 6 blocks, and 3 aces for the Bays. And St. Ignace, they shut out Detour in straight sets 3-0 on Tuesday. For the Raiders, Emily Bennett, she dished out 10 assists and had 2 kills, while Lily Plowman, she had 7 digs, 6 kills, 3 aces, and 2 blocks for Detour in a losing effort. Thursday, Rudyard, well, they continue to win as they now have increased their streak to 45 wins in the EUP Conference as they swept their match by a 3-0 count. For the Bulldogs, it was Lane Grenville, had 8 kills and 9 digs along with 4 aces. They knocked off Detour, I forgot to mention that, on Thursday. Tristan Smith had 12 digs. Tori Tremblay added 5 kills, while Jersey Belleville had 7 digs. For Rudyard, Emily Bennett led the Raiders in assists with 8. She also had 3 digs and 1 kill. So Rudyard 8-1 overall, 5-0 in the EUP Conference. Thursday night, Pickford, they shut out Engadine by a 3-0 count. Anna Vlan-Barakum, she had 7 kills and 3 digs, along with an ace for the Panthers, while Jocelyn Portis, she notched 3 kills, 1 block, while Lizzie Story had 14 assists, 7 digs, and 4 aces for the Pickford Panthers in their victory. Suhai was scheduled to take on Escanaba on Thursday, but with all the COVID problems going on in Escanaba, that match was canceled. High school cross country had a EUP conference match at the Chippewa County Fairgrounds on Monday. It was Ephraim Evans of Newberry and Wisteria Brady of St. Ignace. They won the boys and girls varsity individual races. Evans turned in a time of 17 minutes, 45 seconds to win the boys' 3.1 mile race. In boys' team scoring, Brimley, Rudyard, and Newberry, they were separated by just 6 points. Last year's conference champion, the Brimley Bays, won the meet with 52 points, while Rudyard was second with 56, and Newberry was third with 59. For the girls, it was St. Ignace freshman Wisteria Brady, as I mentioned, winning the race with a time of 22 minutes, 33 seconds. The Saints, they had 5 runners in the top 15 and won the girls' team scoring with 43 points. Mariana Zaragoza finished 4th, Addison Cheeseman 9th, Kylie Peters 14th, and Michaela Hess 15th for the Saints, rounding out the top 5. So we got high school sports going on, and we will continue to cover all of them right here on the game. We're going to take our first break here on the game. When we come back, we got more local sports to talk about. We're going to talk about junior hockey. The Sioux Eagles have set some dates and have some games scheduled coming in the next couple months. We'll talk about that along with the Sioux Thunderbirds. They also inked a couple more players on this year's roster. We'll talk about Laker athletics and more coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, brought to you by ESPN 1400, currently heard at thegamesportshow.com and thegamesportshow.podbean.com.
You can follow The Game Sports Show on Facebook and Instagram at The Game Sports Show.
And you're listening to the Game Sports Show from Sault Ste. Marie.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to the game, brought to you by ESPN 1400, powered by GEM, the Game Entertainment and Media, and currently heard at thegamesportshow.com, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. You can also find our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podtrail, Facebook, and Instagram. As we continue local sports coverage on this Monday night, don't forget next Monday night we will be back on ESPN 1400 live from 6 to 8 o'clock every Monday night. We have some guests lined up, already, including Bruno Bragnolo, the general manager for the Sioux Eagles, who I talked to last week as the Eagles, well, they're set to start their season and very excited to start their season. They'll have their training camp starting on October 10th. Bragnolo, he's hopeful the Eagles can start the NLJHL season in December. However, the league, they haven't released any updates as far as a possible starting date, as well as what happens to the Eagles if the league does open up, but the border remains closed. So the Eagles have scheduled some games with teams in the area, or I should say in the United States, not really in the area. And the first games are set for Polar Stadium on Tuesday, October 13th. And Wednesday, October 14th, the Eagles will take on the under-17 U.S. National Development Program. They will have more information next week as far as what sort of tickets are available, how many people can be in the stadium. Those games will be on hockey TV on the internet. We're hoping to possibly get some of those games on the radio. Not sure as of yet if that will happen. Eagles, they also will have road series in October with Adrian College, as well as the Janesville Jets of the North American Hockey League. They also are set to take on the Lake Superior State University club hockey team at Polar Stadium November 6th and 7th. Ann Braganolo says that they're trying to get some games with the Fairbanks Ice Dogs of the North American Hockey League, who are playing this season in Minnesota, as well as Trine University in November. So the Sioux Eagles, they're set to start their season. We'll have the general manager, Bruno Braganolo, on our show next week to tell us more about it. Well, the Sioux Thunderbirds, no updates again as far as training camps or games because of the pandemic in Ontario, but they've made a couple signings, including a new goalie, Scott Young, a 2000-year birth year player who spent a portion of last season in Sweden. He is going to be the goaltender, one of the goaltenders for the Sioux Eagles, as well as Tyson Doucette. He's a 5'5", 165-pound forward who skated last season with the Great North Midget League's Sioux Greyhounds. He scored twice and added 11 assists for the Junior Greyhounds in 24 Great North Midget League games this past season. The Thunderbirds general manager Tyler Zachary says Tyson has proven to us over the summer that he is ready to make the jump from midget to junior. His 200-foot game and his hockey IQ includes good on-ice habits and decision-making, which are solid attributes that will contribute to his continued success. No updates as far as the Ontario Hockey League and the Sioux Greyhounds. We talked about that last week as far as the season hoping to open up in December. Sioux Greyhounds, of course, will be part of that season. There are three American teams in the Ontario Hockey League. And again, it's another thing with border closures and such. We'll just have to keep an eye on that. We will keep you updated here on the game. Sioux Indians, a couple weekends ago, they got their season underway in midget AAA action. They took on the Chicago Young Americans. It was Chicago winning the first matchup by the score of 4-0. A former Sioux High Blue Devil Logan Raphael was in net for the Indians, and he turned away 34 shots. Chicago would win the second game on Saturday, winning by the score of 6-0. Aiden Winslow, he made 35 saves in net for the Indians in a losing effort. A little more competitive game on Sunday, as it was Chicago winning the game. Rather, that game would be tied 1-1. Raphael played solid in net for the Indians, registering 40 saves, and Colin Goff scored the only goal for the Indians in that one. They were scheduled to take on Lake Forest Prep Academy this past weekend at Taffy Able Arena. However, those games were canceled. The Indians do have some scrimmages set for this weekend, and we will have their general manager or a member of the Sioux Indians staff next Monday night on the game. Reached out to Zeke Canisto, always willing to come on our show. We love talking Indians hockey with him. And so we'll have Sioux Indians and Sioux Eagles updates next week on the game. Lake State Athletics, again, GLIAC season still unsure as far as a starting time. They're scheduled for January 1st. I had a chance to umpire some club softball this weekend at Losey Field as the Lake Superior State University club softball team. They mercy ruled Adrian in three games. The only two teams playing in the state, and I was very impressed with the masks that were worn. Coaches, umpires, including myself, and players all were masked up during this pandemic. It was certainly good to see, and it was just nice to be out there and seeing some softball, some good softballs, and the Laker club team looking very good. Linda does a fantastic job with that program. We'll try to get her on the game before the season ends to talk more about that. And, you know, Lakers softball, they've had a long program, no longer a varsity squad, but certainly players out there having fun. And it's certainly nice to officiate college-level softball. I do youth softball, high school softball, and those are fun as well. But when you get to that college level, the game is just, it's so much fun to be out there and just be a part of. And I had a very good time doing that. No controversy, so that always makes things a lot easier. And so Laker Club softball, three wins on the weekend over Adrian College. That is your local sports update for tonight. But we have a lot of sports to talk about. So much going on in the world of sports. This really is a sports fan's dream as far as everything going on. Coming up, we're hoping to be joined by Butch Davis from Butch on Sports from Metro Detroit, to talk about the Lions' victory. Yes, every time, in the immortal words of Michael Corleone in The Godfather, as a Lions fan, every time I'm out, they pull me back in. And you got to give the Lions credit. They played well on Sunday. We've been pretty hard on the Lions, and we'll continue to be because it's just one game. But they had a good game plan. They ran the ball. Stafford did enough. They made mistakes, but it didn't kill them. And defensively, they made adjustments. They played some zone coverage, and Kyler Murray did not look good. So the Lions get a big victory over Arizona yesterday. Matt Prater hitting the last-second field goal. Tigers season is over. Not a bad season, not a great season, but playoff baseball starting this week with a whole bunch of matchups. We're down to the NBA Finals, the Lakers and Miami Heat, which will start on Wednesday. Stanley Cup is 3-2. Dallas with a big double overtime victory. Game 6 tonight. Also have week 3 of the NFL. Monday Night Football tonight. Boy, what a game. Kansas City and Baltimore. College football, you got the SEC back, which was nice to see. Still a few weeks away from the Big Ten. French Open going on, Premier League soccer. It's hard to keep track of it, but we'll do our best on the game. And we're going to take our next break. We come back, we will start our roundtable talking regional and national sports. All on the Twin Cities only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, brought to you by ESPN 1400 and currently heard at thegamesportsshow.com and thegamesportsshow.podbean.com.
Hi, this is Paul Maurice from the Winnipeg Jets, and you're listening to The Game Sports Show.
Have we gotten to the point where at some high school game that an official has finally had enough from coaches, players, and adults, pulls off the whistle, and offers it to you? Let's hope not. There's no way you could do a better job. It's on everyone to promote good sportsmanship. So before you blurt something out about that next close call, consider this. Without the officials, nobody wins. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
Taking a chance, clocking the ball, and little coming up big. It's all next on This Week in High School Sports. Hi again, everyone. I'm John Johnson, and welcome to This Week in High School Sports. Sturgis opened its football season with a new coach at the helm Friday, former Trojan quarterback Chance Stewart, and pulled off a dramatic win over Three Rivers. Mike Stiles from MHSAA Network affiliate WBET in Sturgis files this report.
A new era of Sturgis Trojan football began Friday night as the Trojans opened their season at Three Rivers against the Wildcats in a Wolverine Conference matchup. It was also the debut of new head coach Chance Stewart. You may remember Stewart, who played for the Trojans and went on to become an All-American at Hillsdale College. His team fought with grit, fell behind early, but came back and rallied and scored the winning touchdown with 43 seconds left in the game to beat the Wildcats by a score of 25-21.
Trip receivers to the right side. Webb being chased. Webb broke one tackle, throws downfield, got Xander Cosby, caught it, and back puddles into the end zone for a Trojan touchdown. Brady Webb broke a tackle, and then he found Cosby with his back to the end zone. He caught it at the 3, and he backpedaled in, and the Trojans lead with 43 seconds left.
Tom Duke with a call on Fox Sports Radio, 1230 AM and 99.7 FM of the Trojan win over at Armstrong Field. This is a big boost for the Trojans, who have suffered through 4 straight losing seasons and are hopeful with numbers up that things will turn around for them under new head coach Chance Stewart. The Trojans will play their home opener at SHS this Friday night as they welcome in the Allegan Tigers.
Thanks, Mike. Our MHSAA game balls this week go out to the cross-country teams at Leslie High School, which swept the girls and boys title at their own Blackhawk Invitational last week. Senior Haley Ellis took top honors in the girls' race, outdistancing the rest of the field by over 30 seconds. And Sheldon Huff of Johannesburg-Lewiston, who had 242 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns, along with 12 tackles and an INT in a 47-14 football victory over Mancelona. Back with more in a moment. You're listening to This Week in High School Sports.
Nearly 2,000 of the state's top student athletes will be recognized for excelling academically and in school activities through the MHSAA's Scholar Athlete Award, underwritten by Farm Bureau Insurance. The applicants will be in the running for a total of 32 $1,000 college scholarships. Application materials are available exclusively online through the MHSAA website. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
Our weekly Be the Referee feature takes a look into the fine art of officiating with Brent Rice.
One of the other visible rules changes taking place this year in football pertains to the quarterback spiking the ball into the ground after receiving the snap from the center in an attempt to stop the clock. Previously, clocking the ball in effort to preserve time could only be done from a traditional hand-to-hand snap from the center to the quarterback, which actually worked to the disadvantage of teams which run shotgun formations all the time. The rule change allows for the quarterback from a shotgun formation to immediately spike the ball into the ground after receiving it to stop the clock with an incomplete pass, bringing the high school rule in line with the college and professional rules.
Thanks, Brent. You can be a referee. Go to the MHSAA website now to register. The closer this week takes us to Cadillac with a story about a former Cadillac High School graduate who has maintained her passion for the pitch as a registered official. Alexis Little graduated from Cadillac High in 2017, an all-conference striker on the girls' soccer squad who wanted to stay connected to the game. So she picked up a whistle and started picking up high school officiating around her schedule as a student at the University of Michigan. She's one of a handful of female soccer officials in northern Michigan. Little feels up to the challenge, and her assigner Bill Spencer told Tom Spencer of the MHSAA second half that it doesn't take long for coaches, other officials, and players to see that she is capable. Little gets a lot of satisfaction out of the game of soccer and recommends that others get involved in officiating. She said, "The types of games where I am very glad I'm a referee are the ones where I get to watch crazy talent and skill from players I never would have seen play otherwise." You can read more about Alexis Little on the second half page of the MHSAA website. Don't forget, you can watch high school sports on MHSAA TV. Over 700 games are available online this week in football, boys soccer, and girls volleyball. Check it all out at MHSAA TV. You've been listening to This Week in High School Sports, a production of the MHSAA Network. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I'm John Johnson. We'll see you next time.
Catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportsshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason here on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to the game, brought to you by ESPN 1400, currently heard at thegamesportsshow.com and thegamesportsshow.com. .podbean.com. As we continue on this rainy Monday night in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, just a reminder, next Monday night, we will be back on ESPN 1400 live every Monday from 6 to 8 o'clock. So make sure you tune into that locally online, and you can still catch the podcasts on all our sites. Joining us now to start the roundtable, host of Butch on Sports, which you can find on the website, Simply Butch 2, that's too.podomatic.com. You can also find his shows on our sites, as I mentioned earlier. His name is Butch Davis, who covers the Metro Detroit sports scene. You can also find Butch on Facebook. Just look up Butch on Sports. Butch, how are you doing on this kind of a dreary Monday night, at least here in the UP?
Very dreary here in the Lower Peninsula here, man. It's getting cold, too, here.
Yeah, we've gotten the cold up here. Fall is here, and fall means football, Butch, and let's start with our beloved Detroit Lions. It was the Happy Lions on Sunday down in Glendale, Arizona, as the Lions earned their first victory in quite a while, this season at least, and going back to last season, a 26-23 victory over the Arizona Cardinals. Matt Prater hits the game-winning field goal at the end. Lots to say about this, but I want to get your take on what looked like a pretty impressive Lions victory.
Let's say they got the luck of the draw, because Arizona got the ball back with any doggone remaining time left. It might have been a little stray here, as you know, in the past there. But the Lions did win a victory yesterday. They got two people back, Mel Kuda who had his second week of play there, got an interception and made it very interesting for the Detroit Lions to come back. And the most important thing is that has to be worked on is that red zone efficiency there.
Yeah.
That still has not gotten down yet, but God bless Matt Prater here and his work here, because he scored us another victory and ended the long 11-game streak that lasted from October of last year until now.
There were a couple things that stood out to me, Butch. Let's start with the offense. First of all, Matthew Stafford, 22 of 31, 270 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. He didn't make that big mistake that we've seen over the past couple games. Secondly, I think the Lions rushed the ball well. Adrian Peterson, 22 carries, 75 yards. And having Golladay in that wide receiver core, I think, opened it up for somebody like TJ Hawkinson. Jesse James got involved finally. And I thought the Lions, although they didn't do the red zone like you mentioned, I thought they were pretty efficient with the ball yesterday.
Well, they're efficient, but again, there's some other things that you got to kind of notice when you rip off some yardage there. 75 yards, and that was all Adrian Peterson there. Only Baxter put his hands on the ball and run with it. Sometimes the Lions lined up with a fullback in front. It would have been very nice after them long runs that Peterson gave them, which was some pretty significant yardage at that point. It was, instead of getting the ball back to Adrian Peterson, he would give it to a fullback. That's the best deep in town, and those are yardage that if he got 3 yards or 2 yards, or maybe 15 or 20 yards, those would have been hard yards. When I say hard yards, you're punishing their defensive line there. And the Lions don't do that enough there in order to keep pressure off of Stafford there. So they got to sit up there and degrade the ball a little bit more when they do run, to maybe use that fullback as a good deke, okay? And I don't mean just fake it to him. I mean, hand the ball off to the fullback, per se. If it's number 4 yards, at least their defense is aware that that's a piece that the Lions are going to use.
Defensively, Butch, the Lions weren't great, but they were good enough yesterday. They did have a little help from Kyler Murray with those 3 interceptions. The one thing I did like, Butch, they're still having problems rushing the quarterback. 1 sack, they have 3 sacks all year. But defensively, I think they mixed it up a bit. They didn't just stick to the Patricia defensive playbook, just using man-to-man. They used some zones. And again, while they're depleted a little bit in cornerback, I thought they did a good enough job. I think Okuda, although not perfect, made some improvements. What did you see out of the defense yesterday?
I saw a lot out of the defense, per se, there, especially after the cornerbacks were a lot more aggressive there. They were lining up, they were pounding receivers, and before they got off the line, there was Hopkins included in that particular, and Zacuda had a reputation of playing bump and run there, and he, when you land a good solid one on a receiver there, that kind of slows him down, take him out of his rhythm there, and I saw a lot of that being done with the Detroit Lions, not so much zone play, where basically it got them in trouble. But again, it also helped them when they play a lot of man-to-man, because when you do hit the zone on them, the element of surprise put in that you saw those interceptions yesterday
right. Were
pretty doggone significant there. They can get a lot of that, but the majority of their work has to always be man-to-man, and the Lions cornerbacks, instead of being passive, are starting to kind of hit them in the mouth kind of attitude there, roughing up the receiver before he get that 5 yards. And give him 5 yards to rough it up any way that she can see fit. Use it to slow that receiver down. Use it in order to keep them from getting into play. Put more pressure on the quarterback. Put more pressure on the people who are blocking them. And the Lions will see some results from that.
Butch, a lot of Lions fans around here excited about the game yesterday, but you and I both know we've seen this before. Just when you count the Lions out, they'll pull a game like this out and win. Going into that home game Sunday against New Orleans, a team that's going to be looking for a win after another loss last night. What do you expect out of that game on Sunday? You're going to be there taking in the festivities in the luxury box. What do you expect out of that New Orleans-Detroit game? What does Detroit have to do to try to sneak out a victory?
They can't do the same thing they did with Arizona, because, right now the Saints defense is for real. And I watched them very closely last night. They are for real. If you you pull a call up on them pretty doggone quickly there. They're going to recover and recover very quick. So I see them, if they're going to stay packed with the New Orleans Saints, they're going to, again, they're going to have to run the ball. Again, they're going to have to do some of the doggone things that I just mentioned there. It's use some deep plays there, using players that they no longer or hasn't used a lot in their particular arsenal there in order to throw new the Saints off there. If they don't do that, it's going to be a long afternoon because they'll let Drew Brees, who has a very good offensive line, very capable backs in Murray and my man number 41 there, who just raised havoc on everybody when he touches the ball.
Kamara.
And then if you get Thomas back from injury or whatever it may be, it's going to be a party out there. So I expect to see a very high-scoring game if the Lions is going to be competitive of that there. If the defense, they get more defensive players back, which I don't think their experience is New Orleans front line on offense. They got to do some things and to throw them off. If they don't do that, it's going to be a long afternoon for the Lions there.
We will certainly be talking to that next Monday night when we're back on ESPN 1400 for the game. Butch Davis joining us on the game. We'll be joined by EJ Russell here in about 10 minutes for the roundtable. Butch, let's move on to the Detroit Tigers not taking part in the Major League Baseball playoffs, finishing the season 23-35. We saw some young kids come up and get some experience. Ron Gardenhire will not be back next year for the Detroit Tigers. Just kind of give us a synopsis of what you saw out of the Tigers this year. Maybe not the best, maybe not the worst. What did you think?
That was a good one there.
I thought so.
That really was a good one. I stated this the first week the Tigers started playing, that the best players that the Tigers have to offer were not on the field. If that had happened, I do believe when you first brought them up, they would be in a lot better shape than they would have been doing off the season there, because you got a lot more younger kids getting experience. When you sit up there and you blow them down to nothing at all, okay, and send them down, now you got to build yourself up again. I think that's the biggest problem with Casey Mize doing his doggone stay up here when he got caught up there. He got put in shock theater. You know, you got yourself built up to being the best pitcher in camp, but yet and still he was not, retained. He was sent down. And Torkelson and all those other players as well that the Tigers have put a lot of stock in, high draft picks. These are kids who go to college there. You got to play these guys there. You cannot sit up there and let them soak in the mud and whatnot, because they're going to sink pretty soon, sooner or later. You don't tell them to get out. So hopefully next year we're going to probably see some changes. If they don't retain McCutcheon there, as I say.
Yeah.
Should have been the manager. It should have been when Leland left. When Leland left, that should have been an easy pick. But again, the Tigers, being the way they are, didn't pick him. He went up going to Seattle. He ended up retaining them when Seattle got rid of him and whatnot there. And he's still back there. So I don't know if Jim Leland, who is on the advisory committee of the Detroit Tigers, say, hey, look, let him ball it away. I can bet you 10 to 1 the dozen of donuts that they do retain McCutcheon there. It's going to be some changes with some coaches there. Some coaches that are part of the Tigers organization already. They have some fine coaches there. Those are the coaches you need to bring up and be a part of this, what you call, celebration, if they're going to do anything positive next year. These kids got to know that. They got to know that they want it. These are the people who work with them. And what better people to work with them when they come up here is those coaches who really pandered and took a lot of stock with these young kids when they was in minor leagues in Erie and down in Florida, per se, and then Western Michigan. And also in Toledo there. They got a lot to look forward to. They have built up their system, where it was torn down to a no, not one, So the Tigers are in better shape than they were a lot of years back. It's 5 or 6 years back.
Butch, before we get to E.J. Russell and the rest of the roundtable, let's talk about the Detroit Red Wings. The Wings will take part in the NHL draft next Tuesday, having a high selection. But they made a couple moves this week as they picked up a veteran defenseman from the New York Islanders and Mark Stahl, and they re-signed a player, Sam Gagner, to a one-year deal, locking up a veteran defenseman on a team that certainly could use defensemen. What do you think of that move?
Well. Steve Yzerman is thinking playoffs next year. Right. And he knows he got some young kids that are ready to move now. If he don't move those young kids now, those young kids are going to make some decisions. And those decisions are going to be either going to the Russian League or playing in Europe. So you don't want to prolong that any longer there when you know good and well you got some people that you can throw in there right now and give them the experience they need and somewhat better than the players they had on the ice in years past there. Erickson is gone. Trevor Daley is gone. There's room on that team to deal with that. Even when they got Stahl, they took on Stahl's contract, which is $5-something million. They can spare doing that because they're not in trouble cap-wise there and absorb that. That's why they got the particular draft choices as well from the New York Rangers in order to suppress that particular deal. They got 20 draft choices for 2 years, okay? Extra draft choices. That is heavily when it comes down to playing hockey there. So they're going to be rounding up the market, getting some of the best players in Canada, in Europe, and maybe in Russia as well as the United States. So they're looking pretty good as far as having some tools and some pieces to fill in the gaps that they've had for a very long time. Their defensive play right now has to be somewhat an issue, and he knows that. If he don't have good defensemen to spell out some pretty good goalies that he got, that's going to be a problem. I think one of the things you look forward to right now, are they going to keep Jimmy Howard there, okay?
Yeah.
He is a valuable piece with a veteran club that needs a good backup goalie there. Howard would be the one. If you keep him here in Detroit, 9 times out of 10, he's not going to be a starting goaltender there. Bernier has showed himself very well, and they still got young pieces there in Grand Rapids and other places that they can put and try out to prolong the Red Wings' stay in goaltender. But those goaltenders got to have protection, and that's where the defenseman is going to come in. And you build from that particular, and with some of the offensive power and the places that you need, the Red Wings should have a playoff team on the table in the 2021 season.
Scott Nason and Butch Davis continuing the roundtable here on the game, and joining us now from Escanaba, Michigan, host of the brand new show, which debuted Thursday night in Escanaba, Michigan from Moe's Pub. The show is called The Hot Seat with EJ Russell and Tyler Ouellette. You can find that show on thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Ladies and gentlemen, EJ Russell.
Yo.
EJ, how you doing on this rainy Monday night?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty easy day at work today. So that made things nice. But then it got a little busy at the end. Thought I might be late, but not late. Happy to be here. And it's been quite the week.
Yeah, very good debut show. You and Tyler did a great job Thursday night talking about the world of sports, covering a lot of the topics we do, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA. Very well done. Kudos to you. And we'll talk more about that show coming up at the end of our show. But EJ, it's time for the roundtable. And you, sir, have the honor of giving us your first topic. I'll give Butch first crack and then myself. So EJ Russell, what's on your mind tonight?
A little bit of NBA. I want to dive into two things real quick. Breaking news in the last bit of time here, last hour or so. Doc Rivers out as head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers after 7 seasons. And we've got the NBA Finals set, Lakers-Heat matchup. Heat returning to the finals for the first time since LeBron took them there. The Lakers returning to the finals for the first time with LeBron. This is LeBron's 10th NBA Finals, Anthony Davis's first. So my two questions for one is, for you guys is, number one, first reactions to Doc Rivers moving on from the Los Angeles Clippers. And number two, Who do you got in the finals?
Butch, the floor is yours.
Yeah. Well, Doc Rivers took the job on dysfunctionality there. And as you know, the owner who hired him is no longer with them. That brings in the new owner there, who is a very astute in basketball, a very high-test sports guy there, and ready to move on to make them as famous as the L.A. Lakers, which they are not. That's including a brand-new place to play basketball, as the old form has been acquired there. And let's see what they do with that particular building, as they'll probably be planning on moving within a couple of years. But again, it's time for Doc Rivers to go. He's been very successful with the team of in making them a very competitive basketball scenario there in Los Angeles. Even for a while, when the Lakers were doing bad, they did have the Clippers to look, kind of look up to, but not as much as they look up to the L.A. Lakers there, which is their bread and butter team in L.A. there. And I think the owner knows that there, but he's going to explore new horizons, move them a little bit further out, about 40 miles from L.A. there, in order to digest the team. But you've got some horses out there, and those horses has got to be fed. And I think a younger coach or more experienced younger coach will kind of feed the need what the Clippers need right now to move ahead and go forward.
Yeah, Butch, getting to Doc Rivers, you know, not that big of a surprise, maybe a little bit, but you covered it well. You know, he did a lot getting that organization back after bad ownership and all the other issues that went along with that. But boy, after the way things transpired against Denver, a team with arguably more talent and a lot more expectations than the Nuggets, blowing a 3-1 lead, and not just blowing a 3-1 lead, but how they blew that lead, having big leads in all three of those games that they ended up losing. The writing was on the wall, and I agree. I think they need some new blood in there to try to get a franchise very similar to the Detroit Lions, in my opinion, a team that just can't get over the hump. They've never made a conference finals now in 50 years. I think in games to the conference finals, obviously they're 0-4, but they're 0-11, 0-12. And so I don't think you can bury the Clippers just yet. They certainly gave up a lot of their future to get Paul George, and Oklahoma City is going to get dividends as far as a lot of draft picks over the next few years. So not a big surprise. Doc Rivers, a stand-up guy. Will he get another coaching job? I wouldn't be shocked. A lot of NBA coaches do seem to recycle, but you know, I don't think the Clippers are done as of yet. Getting to the NBA Finals, I don't think anybody's surprised the Lakers are there. I mean, they have lost one game in, you know, in each series. I guess was it 4-1 against Denver? I don't even remember if it was 4-2, but they've barely lost any games. LeBron looks like LeBron. Anthony Davis is a stud, and they have a decent enough supporting cast, I think, to carry them over Miami. And boy, you got to say a lot of good things about Miami. And how about Tyler Hero? This is a guy, you know, he's 20 years old. He can't even go to a bar and have a drink. Well, obviously you can't in the NBA bubble because that would get you kicked out. But, you know, Miami's not going to be they're not going to roll over for the L.A. Lakers. But I'd be very surprised to see the Lakers not take it. The stars are aligned, I think, for L.A. First time in the finals, I think, since 2010. Boston, you know, a lot of talent. Yeah, a lot of talent. Maybe more talented than the Miami Heat, arguably. But you know what? Talent doesn't always win series. And Miami has earned that bid. And looking forward to the NBA Finals starting, I believe, on Wednesday night. EJ Russell, your thoughts on your own topic, sir?
Sad to see Doc Rivers go, just because that was such a difficult situation that he was brought into. And I think that he really did do a good job of protecting his team through the COVID procedures and things like that this year. He has done a great job with that team since he's gotten there. I think, Scott, I think you nailed it on the head. Unfortunately, losing that series to Denver might have been kind of the final straw that broke the camel's back there, because you had too talented of a team to blow that kind of lead in that series in an environment in which your team looked like they were doing all the right things. So I think that and just not being able to get him over the hump is part of the reason for his departure. A lot of the same reasons why last week we were talking about the Lions and Jim Caldwell should have never been fired by many of our own opinions, because he couldn't get them over the hump. So this is kind of the same thing here, although I do believe that in comparison of coaches, Doc Rivers is a far better coach than I think Jim Caldwell could be. I just think Doc Rivers' level of coaching tier is far higher than what Jim Caldwell's was. But same kind of scenario, right? If you can't get the job done in these leagues, okay, whether it be the National Basketball Association, the NFL, MLB, it doesn't matter what it is. If you can't get over that hump, you're going to lose your job, okay? That's happened to many different coaches. Happened in Cleveland. It's happened in Detroit, right? It happens everywhere. So unfortunately for him, just bad timing and an unfortunate series loss that I think ultimately did cost him his job. But I do believe he'll find a new job. And I sure hope that he does, because I like the way that he coaches basketball. Maybe you see him back in the booth for a year, but then he's going to go back to coaching, I think. As far as the NBA Finals goes, this is actually a much closer matchup than you guys think it is on paper, okay? I'm going to break down some of the team stats. The Lakers average 113.4 a game, give up 106.5. Miami average 112 a game, give up 107. So very similar numbers there. Where the Lakers start to get ahead, a little bit higher in field goal percentage, and have done significantly better over their last 10 games. I don't find a way that a well-rested Lakers team led by LeBron James can be beat by a Miami Heat team that's being, I'll say, front-manned by Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero, okay? Jimmy Butler is only averaging just under 20 points a game. Anthony Davis is averaging 26.1, and we still aren't taking into consideration LeBron's numbers, playoff Rondo's numbers. You know, Jimmy Butler's been getting a lot of help from Tyler Hero, but he's, like Scott, you said, he's a young kid. Who knows what he's going to look like in an NBA Finals? I think the one thing that Bam said today in one of his quotes was, we've been underdogs the entire time. We're not afraid to go up against anybody. So that's what's fun about this bubble environment is I don't think any of us would have picked the Miami Heat to get here. I think most of us had Milwaukee or the Boston Celtics. But they're here. The finals are on. I think this is an exciting matchup. This one underlying storyline that I think will be curious, I'll be curious to watch myself, is Eric Spoelstra coaching against LeBron James, who he's been to the finals with four times. So that's kind of a fun story for me there. Eric Spoelstra, on this show in the past, I have said I wasn't a huge fan of his. I thought he was just a talent manager. He's proven me a little bit wrong this year in taking a far less talented team on a much deeper run than any of us could have anticipated. So I'll give Miami a little bit of a heads up, a bump up on the coaching side there, just because Eric Spoelstra has done such a good job of getting these Miami Heat players in this Miami Heat team into the finals. I just don't think that it's enough firepower to take down the league show.
Great topic, EJ. Let's continue the roundtable with Butch Davis. Butch, the floor is yours, sir. What would you like to talk about tonight?
We'll continue this bad boy here. I didn't tell you who I was rooting for. I'm rooting for Miami. Why?
Me too.
Because my first job was with a guy named John Spoelstra. In Portland there. So that was my first job.
That's cool.
My real first job. I remember his son, who's coaching now as a little kid. He still knows me. I don't know why, but...
You're unforgettable, Butch. That's why.
Well, I was working where he got his problems at, and that was in films and whatnot there. He was in the behind the scenes helping doing films, and he was 12 years old when I was there, okay, per se, as a young buck there, you know, back in the old days of Portland, where they playing at Memorial Coliseum there. But you know what? Miami's a little bit more bigger than I think people give them credit for there. They got a slew of people who don't have no names, or you don't hear them out there personally there. They played one heck of a job playing the Eastern Division, which to me was a little bit more tougher than the Western Division, per se, when it comes down to quality basketball there. So don't rule out Miami, per se, at no point in time there. They're going to make this very interesting. I'm still hoping for Miami to win over the Lakers, and so I can laugh till the hell freezes over here.
I love it.
I don't know what topic I can bring up here that's going to wet everybody's whistle. But, you know, I look at, excuse me, these first 3 weeks of football there that we've had to watch. And although it was somewhat bitter in the fact that a lot of good players are down and out and won't be available for their teams the rest of the season there, I think the quality of football right now in the National Football League has been very doggone good. And I just want to get you guys' opinions on what you see the first 3 weeks of this thing called the, it's not the bubble per se, but a lot of other distractions come into play and discipline, I more or less look at when it comes down to keeping their health in line there.
Yeah, Butch, I'll start, and I agree. The first 3 weeks of the NFL have been very entertaining, and what I've liked the best of all the sports that I've seen so far, even though there's not fans in all the games, but they're playing at the stadiums. I'm still playing fantasy football. I'm still up and down about the Lions. It just reminds me of a normalcy, and that's one thing I think we all are looking for is just some sense of normalcy. So I think the NFL football, just throw out the results and anything else, it just brought that to me, and for that, I have very much enjoyed it. And, you know, yesterday was no exception. There were some fantastic games, surprising results, and very close games. You know, a few that I was looking at, especially in the early games, we talked about the Lions and Cardinals earlier. How about the Bears going 3-0? And boy, how about Atlanta?
Yeah.
That team is just, they just can't find a way to win a game. The three just bad losses, the last two being the most head scratching. And, you know, Nick Foles comes in and does what Nick Foles does, wins football games. They come back and win 30-26. I don't think many people had the Bears at 3-0, but that is exactly where they sit. I think the best game of the day to me, maybe the Sunday night one was as good, but the Bills Rams game, I thought was very interesting. The Rams down, I think 28-3 in the second half, Josh Allen just went crazy in the first half, and then they come back and they take the lead and almost won that game. If it wasn't for a maybe questionable pass interference call, it could have gone either way. It went against the Rams. But boy, Josh Allen, is he looking good or what? 5 touchdowns, 4 in the air. The Bills are 3-0. I'm sure EJ is going to say more about the Browns. Above 500, I think, for the first time since 2014. Yeah, the Tennessee Titans, a close game in Minnesota. I really thought the Vikings were going to get there, but Steven Gostkowski, who missed 3 field goals in the first week, made 6 yesterday. The Titans are 3-0. And some of the other games, how about the 23-23 tie with the Bengals and the Eagles? Lots of head-scratching calls in that one. And boy, the NFC East right now is a disaster. Philadelphia 0-2-1, half game out of first place in the NFC East. That is a god-awful division. Pittsburgh Steelers, they're 3-0. I really thought the Texans were going to win that game in Pittsburgh. But, you know, having Roethlisberger in there, having Connor in there, a bit of a running game, opportunistic defense, they go 3-0. You know, a couple other games, you know, the Sunday night game, the Packers and Saints. Boy, that was a fun one to watch. I expect that tonight we're going to have a similar, very watchable football game. Aaron Rodgers just doing what Aaron Rodgers does, you know, win games. A lot of people thought the Packers 13-3 in the regular season, making it to the NFC Championship. A lot of people wrote the Packers off this year. They thought it was a fluke. Doesn't look like it, at least to this point. And then Seattle, Russell Wilson, 14 touchdown passes, tying Patrick Mahomes for the most in the first 3 games. I don't think he has an interception. Defense worries me in Seattle, but boy, if Wilson can continue those numbers, Seattle's a very tough 3-0 team. But most importantly, like I said earlier, I just like the fact that having NFL football on Sunday, watching NFL Red Zone, complaining about the Lions, it just reminds me things maybe some point could come back to normal. It certainly does on a Sunday, because I'm not thinking COVID-19. I'm not thinking anything. I'm just into the games, watching my fantasy football team, and enjoying every minute of it. EJ Russell, I know you got a lot to say. What say you?
I think that the number one team that I've been paying attention to so far is the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen does look absolutely phenomenal. Let's not discredit, though, what Jared Goff did in that game. He threw for 321 yards. Allen only had 311, but he had the 4 touchdowns through the year and then that interception. He is making himself out to be an MVP candidate this year. The things that he's doing in Buffalo and adding Stephon Diggs has been, boy, has that been great for them. I think he's second in the league in reception yards going into this week. I haven't looked at the stat line since, but he looks really, really incredible. Their game coming up should say more about them. But the Bills, the Bills are, what, the 3-0 the first time since 92, 93, which I believe the last that was the Buffalo Bills that went to one of four straight Super Bowls and just couldn't find a way to finish it off. So Buffalo Bills look fantastic in a division that is up for grabs. Yes, Cam Newton and the New England Patriots do look good. But keep in mind, they're 2-1. Buffalo, you're 3-0. Okay, keep piling on the wins now. AFC North looks like it could be a tough division. The game with Baltimore tonight, I think, is going to tell us a lot about the Ravens and the Chiefs, although I do think both of those teams find ways to win their divisions. Browns look good, though. Okay, just keep pounding the ball. Keep rushing the football. Nick Chubb had a great game. Kareem Hunt adding another score. And Baker Mayfield, again, minimizing turnovers. Okay, he doesn't have to throw for 100 yards or, 300 yards. You know, 150, 170, 200-something yards might be enough out of him to win, okay? Alex Smith used to be that kind of a guy known more of as a great game manager, where Baker Mayfield's a little bit more gunslinger. But if you can minimize those turnovers and get the ball into the talented receivers' hands that you have, they'll find ways to make plays for you. But the Browns' offense need to continue to run through the rushing game. Tennessee Titans, level King Henry's doing there. The best team in the NFL, I think, so far has to be the Green Bay Packers. And I think there's only two other teams in pro football, maybe three, that have scored more points than the Packers this year. I think the Niners have a better point differential. And then I think it's, yeah, the Colts, the Niners, and the Baltimore Ravens all have a better point differential than the Green Bay Packers. But I think that the Green Bay Packers have looked the best through the first three games, by far and away more than anybody else, taking down a tough New Orleans Saints team, just absolutely blowing out the Lions and doing far better than what anybody expected in their week one win. So I think the Green Bay Packers are right now the best football team in the NFL. But Russell Wilson, Scott, you hit it right on the head. This guy's doing things. He's got 14 touchdowns, one interception, unfortunately. And I'm pretty sure that that one came against the Cowboys when they played him. The dude's a stud, and he might just – the things that he – he leaves me speechless in the way that you watch him play football. He makes so many other receivers around him look good. The corral of running backs that he's been going through since Marshawn Lynch left, still finding ways to find success rushing the football on that team. But that NFC West sure does look tough. You got the Seattle Seahawks 3-0, Cardinals 2-1, Rams 2-1, 49ers 2-1. Niners are the biggest question mark there with the injuries that they had on defense. But if they can continue to play well, they have a good enough team that they just might find a way to squeak out a win. Seahawks look like the best team in that division to me. The other team or two that might come out of that division, who knows who it's going to be right now. It's a wild start to the NFL season. But the one thing that I think that, Scott, I definitely agree with you on, is that the Atlanta Falcons just look terrible. You just can't find a way to get a win. And Tyler and I talked about it last Thursday on the hot seat. He says Matt Ryan's one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL, and I had him as one of my three worst right now, because if you're up by as many points as you have been in all of these games, you can't find a way to close it out. The quarterback's the leader of football team. Yes, I understand you can't recover goofy onside kicks. Yes, I understand you can't make all the plays, but you got to be enough of a leader that you can convince the guys around you to step up. That's something that Patrick Mahomes has shown us that he can do well. That's something that even a Dak Prescott has shown us that he can do well in Dallas. He knows how to lead his team. You just got to find a way to step up Aaron Rodgers, because if you're going to continue to do what you've been doing, you can expect to see your rear end on the sideline.
Butch, great topic. Always love talking NFL football. The floor is yours, sir.
Well, y'all guys kind of covered
everything. Sound more ominous, Butch. Jeez.
Yeah, it's really ominous. Let's start off with the Cleveland Browns.
That.
Let me start off with the Cleveland Browns at number one here. I said last year, if the Cleveland Browns shut their face, go out there and play football, they got one of the best teams in the NFL. I need not say anymore. You have not heard any rumbles from the Cleveland Browns. You have not heard any arguments or getting back on Twitter and making a fool of themselves. They're going out there playing some football. Then to say, they have some very talented people. I don't think that they have any problem at all. Again, all they do is shut their face and they're in the playoffs here. I'm sorry. My hat's in on the Cleveland Browns as long as they shut their face. Now, if everybody else that you guys have mentioned, I'm shocked. Matt Ryan, I feel bad for him. He's going out there making the scores, but again, this guy don't play defense. And that's where the Atlanta Falcons have failed miserably there. Whoever their coordinator is, to have them playing soft during crucial points of the game where they should get tougher and not softer, shame on them. That's going to be a determination on the ownership of the Atlanta Falcons to kind of spur that thing up a little bit. And I'm quite sure moves will be made next week if that doesn't change quick, fast, and in a hurry there. I like Buffalo. I love the game that Allen played yesterday. He stuck it out. You wouldn't say that he was the most talented quarterback we got in the NFL, but he got bronze. And I remind him and Baker Mayfield, they really are similar to me because when they put their mind up there, they take whatever is given to them there. And it is a pleasure to watch a quarterback who takes his bronze and uses himself as a back. Remember, he's a back. A quarterback, a halfback, a fullback, you have the complexity to run. And when they gave him 7, 8, 9 yards, this guy took it and kept drives alive. And it wasn't for that. They don't win over L.A. yesterday at all there. But again, I'm seeing good, natural, good football. I think the referees are improving themselves a lot. I don't see a whole lot of calls that need to be changed or very controversial. I've seen some, but not as many as we saw in weeks past in the first weeks when this instant replay has expanded itself there. But again, NFL looked pretty doggone good. I think, Scott, you said it best. It gives you a factor, normalcy, that these players are out there playing without fans and still putting up a heck of a doggone show.
Great point about the officials, Butch. I never thought of that, and I agree. There's many less controversial calls, at least in the first few weeks, than we've seen in the first few weeks of past seasons. Great point there. Scott Nason, Butch Davis, and EJ Russell continuing the round table. And guys, I got a very open-ended topic, and I guess I'm going to start it with, when we were doing the shows in April, late March, April, and May, we were looking for sports to cover. I think the Bundesliga in Germany was one of the first ones to come back, and then slowly but surely some of the other ones. And I'll tell you what, this is a sports fan's paradise right now in the month of September. I mean, just look at this weekend and all the different options you had to watch sport. And it's hard because, you try to cover everything, you try to watch everything, it's virtually impossible. NFL, which we just talked about. College football, I think, really heated up this weekend with the SEC and Big 12 having some big games. It was nice to see my Alabama Crimson Tide back and some just wild games, LSU and Mississippi State.
Oklahoma?
Yeah, Oklahoma loses to Kansas State. You got Major League Baseball now into the playoffs, which start this week. Talked about the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals going on. Was watching the French Open, which went till 11 o'clock French time. Premier League, we've had U.S. Open golf. I mean, there's just so much to watch. It really is a sports lover's dream. And so my question is, of any of the things that we haven't talked about yet, sports that I just covered, or maybe something I haven't, what have been some of your viewing pleasures and things that you're interested in that we haven't covered so far? I'll start with you, EJ.
Well, we're pretty much covering everything that I've been watching. Everybody that listens to this show knows that I love NFL football more than anything else. But I am excited about watching what's going on in the college game because this is a very unique season. Can you make it into the playoffs this year with a loss? The strength of schedule, which conference is going to get a little bit more favoritism because they're not playing very many interconference games right now, right? And most teams are just staying within their conference. So I'm curious to see how this season pans out. Do we have teams that look like they're walking away with it? Is there going to be a decisive first four teams you know, going into this year, you probably could have went Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and maybe Oklahoma. There's your four playoff teams. Well, now Oklahoma's lost. LSU's lost. They're the reigning national champions. Ohio State still yet to play a game. Clemson looks underwhelming, in my opinion. Alabama, well, they're Alabama. They're going to do Alabama things. So unless they find a way to lose a game, they're almost always a shoe-in for the playoff. Who knows what's going to happen there? It's an exciting year for college football. The one sport that I wish I would have paid attention to more, because, Scott, I didn't hear you give it any love, is we do also have the Stanley Cup playoffs going on right now. Okay. Is right. Tampa Bay still not one win away from clinching the cup, which is one of the most iconic trophies in all of sports? The legends behind that, the Stanley Cup, you know, from touching the trophies ahead of the Stanley Cup final to getting your photo taken with it if you've never won. Like, just – it's an incredible trophy. It comes with an incredible amount of history. I spent some significant time vacationing in Tampa as a child, so I am a little bit of a backseat Tampa Bay fan, but I don't really, you know, wear the gear or root for them vocally. But I like seeing when they win, and I really typically don't like any team that comes out of Dallas, so they have my attention. So give the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Dallas Stars some love, because the Stanley Cup Finals are still going on right now, and we're one win away from potentially – crowning a champion. Dallas finding a way to hold on the other night with a, what was it, a 3-2 overtime win. Good for them to stay alive. So, you know, if you're one of those people that, because of what's going on, you're protesting the NFL, or maybe you don't want to watch NBA games, the NHL still got a championship game being played right now. Oh, and by the way, Scott, as you mentioned, we're getting right into the baseball playoffs right now. So for me, college football probably grabs the most of my attention. I do want to make sure I pay attention to the end of the Stanley Cup final. And, of course, lots of good teams in the playoffs for baseball this year. Anything can happen.
Butch, lots of sports still going on. Which one has your attention that we haven't talked about so far?
Australian rules football.
Yeah!
Dig it. I'll tell you one thing. I have been happy. Because, you know, once upon a time, we used to, when ESPN first came on, that was one of the a feature things that they would do, being a 24-hour sports show. They would put on Australian rules football late at night. And boy, oh boy, I'm getting my willies on it, because ESPN done caught on. They done got it back, along with Fox. I love Australian rules football. I don't care what anybody say. I want Prater to kick a try, you know, which is legal. Which is legal in the National Football League. If right. People don't know that there, he can take that football, pick it up, and put it right through the goalposts for a one-point try there, man. And we haven't seen it done yet. No, I've seen it done three times in the National Football League there. That they take and punt the ball through the goalpost there. That's been pretty doggone special for me there. The Stanley Cup there, the team that Steve Yzerman built, but he won't be able to get credit for. It's the Lightning there. But again, the Dallas Stars are really giving them a run for their money, and it's been very competitive, especially the other night when they went into overtime and Dallas came up there winning that one to keep itself alive. But and NBC has done an incredible job of putting that on national television instead of putting it on the back burner on the NBC Sports Network there. Also, National Football League. Can't say more about that. I've seen more football than ever before. National Basketball Association. We don't say a lot about that there, but again, it's finally the championship has begun to get started. I think it starts on Wednesday. That's going to be cool. Along with the WNBA, which right now Bill Laimbeer has a chance to win another championship in women's basketball. And how much is the Pistons thinking about if this coach we have right now don't mend his ways, to go pick this guy on up here, and he'll change the doggone life out of Detroit Pistons, and we'll be winners for the next 10 to 15 years again here, like it used to be in the old days there. Bring that fight back into the doggone team. What else? What did you say, EJ?
No, I was going to say, you want to bring the Bad Boys back. That's what you want.
Yes,
we do.
I want to see basketball the way it should be played. you know, they're going to knock LeBron James the next week and whatnot there when he sit up there trying to be a big bad boogie bear or something like that nature there.
Well, Bill Laimbeer's been in the WNBA for quite some time now and has had a ton of success coaching the women's game. Do you think that can translate? If Dwayne Casey doesn't work out in Detroit, do you think he can step in and coach the men's game as effectively as he's done the women's?
Yes, please.
Yeah. In more ways than one. Bill Laimbeer, and I tell you, because I've known him very well for the year that he'd been in Detroit. I knew him better when he was a coach with the Shock and whatnot there, where we were able to have conversations, and I would do one-on-ones for the radio show when I was back here doing radio in Dearborn and whatnot in southeastern portion of Michigan there, WCAR. This guy just knows coaching, and he knows toughness, and he brings the best out of every player to just give their very, very best. You may not have what you call these premium star players, but when you get good role players, and that's what the Aces have right now, that's what the Shock had when he was here, that's what the Liberty had when he was coaching them, he just knows how to bring the best out of everybody to make everyone come forward. You know, it's no sense of being a bench player and you can't come in there and have a specific job to do and you can't perform it. Bill Laimbeer doesn't keep you, okay? Bill Laimbeer wants role players to come out there when the starters can't get their thing together for you to come on in there and take ownership in what you're doing there. And the Pistons doesn't have the ownership. They got a lot of mouth. They got a lot of PA. But again, when it comes down to the crap hitting the fan there, there has not been nothing for our fans for the last, I don't know how many years this has been going on. I forget count, but again, for that new building that they're playing in and the one that just got torn down, they're going to have to put up or shut up there because they're not going to get supported. And maybe that's what Gores wants, so he can move them to Timbuktu or something there. You know, I don't know. But again, it would be nice that happened. But to get back to the sports deal all together now here, you know what? Sports has not been any nicer than it has been right now because, as one of our colleagues say, you don't know what to pick. And you find yourself surfing, which is a sport that we haven't done in a very long time in this world, but surfing the television there with the remote control, which everybody has right now there, it's a luxury there. You don't have to move out of your seat except going to the bathroom and taking a break there. And then they got picture on picture, okay, for all these doggone games going on, even from wrestling on down. It's a bed of roses there, I tell you.
Yeah, it really is, guys. And, you know, you guys both talked about the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm a little bitter about that because I picked Tampa last year to do what they're doing this year, and they were bounced in the first round. Who beat them
in the first round last year?
I believe that would be your Blue Jackets there, EJ.
Oh, okay. But I forgot.
It has been entertaining, the two ones that I really watched this weekend outside the NFL, college football. I hadn't really gotten into it until last weekend, but having the SEC back, I'm a big SEC football guy along with Big Ten, just seeing those matchups and watching that LSU game, you know, obviously LSU not quite as strong as last year, especially defensively, where quarterback for Mississippi State threw for 623 yards in a victory, and seeing Alabama winning. And you know, we're going to have more games coming up that are going to be exciting, especially when the Big Ten starts. I was a little leery about college football to start. Back in August when the Big Ten made the decision, I think they made the right decision, but, you know, money talks, and I hope everything works out. I'm going to try to focus less on COVID in sports and more on the sports. Of course, not considering that there aren't issues and we're seeing rising numbers in COVID, but that's for another topic for another time. The other sports that I've been enjoying, you know, I'm a big soccer guy, and the Premier League is back in action. It didn't seem like it went away. The season ended, and you know, 4 weeks later, they're back, and there were just some great matches this weekend. Chelsea, a team that I follow very strongly, or I support very highly, were down 3-0 to West Bromwich Albion in the first half, a team that promoted last year, and they came back in the second half to tie 3-3. And Leicester City, top of the Premier League again, they go to Manchester City and whoop them 5-2. I absolutely love that. And then French Open going on right now and Roland Garros. They have the lights at the stadiums now. So you got matches that go on later in the day. And again, it's just nice to have sports and you don't know what to watch. You don't know what's going to happen, but I am certainly enjoying every bit of it as we try to get to some sort of normalcy here in this company. Gentlemen, let's go around the horn and do our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week before we talk more about EJ's new show and Butch's show and what's going on this week. So, EJ Russell, what are your thumbs up and thumbs down, sir?
Thumbs up for the week in sports. I didn't talk about it much, but I got to give a big thumbs up to my Cleveland Browns, finding a way to get a winning record for the first time in what it feels like forever. So excited to see them playing well. Hopefully we can continue to have success. I believe the Dallas Cowboys are up next on the schedule here. Don't know how I feel about the Cowboys. They've been playing some pretty good football lately. So we'll see how it goes. But thumbs up to the Cleveland Browns. You've done what you've needed to do in the last two games after losing your first. So thumbs up to Cleveland Browns. Thumbs down for the week in sports. I'm going to reiterate what I've been saying last 5 days. Matt Ryan, you as the leader and the captain, one of the captains on your football team, you have to find a way to lead your team to more successful play than what you've put out there. I believe every game that you've lost this year, you've been up and winning by double digits in most of those games. Find a way to close it out. Otherwise, you can start packing your bags because you don't get to lose that many games in the National Football League and keep your job, right? Nick Foles
Matt
came
don't
in this
play
week.
Defense. Come on.
You're right. He doesn't play defense, but you've got to find a way to get your boys fired up, or you need to be better than what you're doing and put more points on the board and make your offense better because you know that no lead is safe right now. Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. I'll give thumbs down to both of them. Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons, find a way to close out games.
Butch Davis, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
I'm going to give thumbs up to Matt Ryan. What the heck? You know, there's a guy.
Oh, you would.
Yes, I would. You know, this is a guy who did his job and every doggone thing, unlike Matthew Stafford. And again, he doesn't have the defense to support him there. So, you know, and EJ, you're not saying nothing wrong here. But again, you know, the early leads that they do take, yes, Matt Ryan has to be somewhat running teams into the ground instead of maybe not realizing that his defense ain't crap, you know. But again, he doesn't play defense, and a lot of that got to go on the defensive coordinator and also the defense of the Atlanta Falcons. For those 2 weeks, they have spent times licking their butt, you know, instead of licking their chops, okay, and playing football and being somewhat ahead of the game, because they could be in the South Division, one of the more expressive divisions in the NFL, and they didn't get it done. So, yes, thumbs up to Matt Ryan. Thumbs down, I don't know, for the people who are going out here pitching the conniption that the players in the state of Michigan who are playing football right now and putting their lives on the line should be wearing masks. We have an official here in Michigan that said, if you want to play football, you got to wear a mask because it's too close to the edge right now for the things that professional footballs have and college football have. A lot of these high school footballs don't have. They don't have those great medical people on the sideline. They don't have certain people and specialty knowledge to gear up on the team. Maybe the more expensive, richer schools do have it, but again, we don't have enough of them in the state of Michigan there. You know, if you got asthma, if you got an online particular and you cannot wear a mask, maybe it's better you sit out the season there and be able to fight another day than rather put yourself online and get yourself beat up and whatnot because you got a bunch of no-nonsense parents going out there being a damn fool, okay? In the state of Michigan, you got to wear a mask to play football. If you can't do it, sit it on out. You know, if you're good, somebody's going to find you. Put it that way, okay? Somebody's going to find you. There are films, humongous among the high school schools. They exchange films every week for their petition or their competition, I should say there. You know what? Wear a mask. Do what it takes to be safe, okay?
Well said, Butch. I'm going to add a thumbs up to your thumbs down right there. So thumbs up to Butch Davis for his thumbs down. I think that's a first on the game, but well said, Butch. Also thumbs up to KJ McCollum, the quarterback for Mississippi State.
Nice.
Big win over LSU. I love the stat line. 36 of 60, 623 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles. But he ends up winning the game. So I thought that was good. Also thumbs up to locally here, the Sioux High Blue Devil football team. 2-0, 2 big road wins last week at Traverse City St. Francis. And then, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago at Traverse City St. Francis and last week at Marquette. So the Blue Devils looking good on the gridiron. And thumbs down to the woman that broke into the home of Joe Montana and his wife, tried to kidnap.
I forgot that one. I wanted to take that.
Trying to kidnap their 9-month-old granddaughter. You're not going to get one past Joe Montana, baby. He nipped that in the bud. And so thumbs down to that woman. I hope they throw the book at her. That is just absolutely ridiculous.
Did you hear that Joe Montana at 60-something years old tackled her? I heard that Joe Montana tackled her in his house to stop her from getting out of the house. 64 years old, however old he is.
And a woman too, man.
He said
if you want to play on a man's field, you gonna get hit. It didn't matter if it was a man, woman, or whatever. He went in there to protect his zone, so good on him.
That's right. Protecting the family, baby. Let's go around the horn one more time, gentlemen. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show and several times during, we have secured our spot on ESPN 1400. We will be live next Monday night from 6 to 8 o'clock on ESPN 1400. We'll still be doing our shows online as far as the podcast, but we will be live in living color, lining up some guests during the first hour. Butch Davis, EJ Russell, and hopefully Dave McKeag will be able to join us for the roundtable portion of the show. So looking forward to that. We will be on every Monday night, barring another pandemic or lockdown. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But EJ, again, I got to give you big props for your first show Thursday night with yourself and Tyler. It's called The Hot Seat. Just tell us a little bit about the show and what you have planned this Thursday night.
So the hot seats, kind of what we're trying to do is bring a little bit more statistics to the conversation. It's a show about if you're gonna talk about who's on the hot seat, you better come correct. You better have your information right. So it's a fun opportunity where Tyler and I get to sit down with each other. Tyler is a local sports, a well-respected man in the local sports community. Graduated as a three-sport athlete from Escanaba High School. Played basketball at Bay College, was Bay College Student Athlete of the Year, pursuing career in sports. Couldn't think of anybody better to join me. If you haven't checked it out, we are on our Podbean app. The show is called The Hot Seat, live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. Dave does a lot of different versions of the show there in Canada, and we just thought we might add a new American show to the fold, talk a lot about football, basketball, baseball, and what's going on this side of the border. As local sports here continue to pick up, we will cover some local sports here. But excited for the opportunity. So I got Wednesday night. I know I do in the Pocket with Dave live from Sports Center Bar and Grill in Sioux, Ontario. And then again, Thursday nights, The Hot Seat with myself and Tyler Willett here live at Moe's Pub in Escanaba. Just grateful for the opportunity to add another episode to the game, entertainment, and media. And just thankful to you guys for all the support. And check it out. We'll be here Thursday.
It was very well done, EJ. You did a great job as host, Tyler. You wouldn't know it was his first broadcast because he sounded like a veteran, and certainly looking forward to that and really happy to have you. Of course, Butch's show, Butch on Sports, which we'll talk about, this show, Dave's shows in Sioux, Ontario, along with our local broadcasts and other related content, all on thegamesportsshow.com. It's a growing family, and we're adding more content, and certainly a great show with yours. Great job, and certainly looking forward to Thursday night to hear it again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Butch Davis, a brand new edition of Butch on Sports last night. You can find it on your webpage, simply Butch 2. That's too.podomatic.com. You can also go to Facebook, give Butch a like, Butch on Sports, and you can find his shows, of course, on our family of shows at thegamesportshow.com, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Butch, I got your credentials in during the show for the Lions. You're going to be there Sunday against the Saints. What's up for Butch on Sports this week?
I don't know. I hope. I'm so confused. Really?
There's a lot going on.
You're telling me. With all these kids that I'm babysitting here doing at school. And, hey, hello, Riverview, wherever you are out there here. And, you know, let's give a great hello to everybody that says middle school where I'm covered it there, and more people know my name, and nicely, I might add as well here. Staff been great. You know, let me get out of the hole here. And, you know, sooner or later we're going to hear a lot about the Pistons there because it's going to be draft pretty soon. Hopefully, we'll get some news from them. Detroit Red Wings, it's going to get hopped up. As soon as these Stanley Cups are over, the draft is going to take place. So I think Steve Yzerman's getting ready for that. So we're keeping our ears to the metal for a lot of information for Detroit Red Wings and also trades that may be made in order to make them better. But the Lions and the Tigers, per se, it's going to be interesting to find out. They didn't have to play a special game tonight for the St. Louis Cardinals because they took care of business when they had to. So, got a lot of stuff, plus a lot of high school stuff going on here. River Rouge got beat up by East Lansing last Friday night there, so I'm going to laugh at that one here as I ride through River Rouge. But other than that, a lot of sports. Going to be busy on Wednesday on Butch on Sports. Of course, our Sunday edition of Butch on Sports. I know everybody's going to be wrapping up there. We're going to have a lot more interviews on the show there. It's getting to that point where basically I can talk less and let them run themselves into the ground with those interviews. So I'm going to use it, boys and girls here. So, hey, stay tuned. Starting Wednesday, Butch on Sports with a lot of interviews and a lot of good stuff there to kind of ponder on there.
We certainly look forward to that, Butch, and we'll talk to you next Monday night on our next edition of the game back on ESPN 1400, sir.
Oh, yeah.
All right, gentlemen, want to thank you guys for being on the show. Again, you can find this show online later on tonight at thegamesportshow.com, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. You can also find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Podtrail. You can also go to Facebook and Instagram. Just look up The Game Sports Show. For EJ Russell and Butch Davis, my name is Scott Nason. We'll talk to you next Monday night back on the radio and online for our next edition of The Game, brought to you by ESPN 1400, powered by The Game Entertainment and Media. Have a great night, everyone.
See ya.